Tonight, several developing stories as we come on the air. The first shots in arms of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine starting as early as tomorrow. The third vaccine now available here in the U.S. This is a one-shot vaccine. Nearly 4 million doses shipping from two facilities in Kentucky and Tennessee to vaccination sites across the country tonight. The company now promising 20 million doses by the end of March, 100 million doses by June. The question everyone would like to know, what does this mean for the timeline? Will vaccinations happen any quicker in this country? The one-shot vaccine, 100% effective at preventing hospitalizations and deaths. And now amid this uptick in COVID cases, concerns about the variants. Tonight, the CDC now saying this is not the time to ease restrictions or to let our guard down. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo under fire tonight, an investigation now underway into two sexual harassment allegations. Tonight, the newest accuser saying the governor refuses to take responsibility for his, quote, predatory behavior. Tonight, the governor's latest comments on these allegations and amid growing questions about the data on nursing home deaths in New York, the governor now hiring a lawyer to represent the governor's office. New images emerging along the southern border. The Biden administration now saying tonight the more than 500 families still separated by the Trump administration's zero tolerance policy will be allowed to reunite in the U.S. if they choose. The number of unaccompanied minors growing, and tonight questions about new tents going up. Matt Gutman reporting from the border tonight. The storms this Monday and EF1 straight line winds turning deadly today. Trees coming down, killing a man in Georgia. At least 15 states on alert for flooding and high winds tonight. At the Northeast now bracing for sub-zero wind chills. Ginger Z timing it out. Tonight, Lady Gaga's dog walker breaking his silence. The images coming in from his hospital room. And the surgeon facing questions after he was seen making a court appearance while performing surgery. And America Strong tonight, the power of music. The baby boy hearing music for the first time.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here as we start another week together. And we begin tonight with promising news in the fight against the coronavirus here in this country and a new word of caution tonight from the CDC. But first, that new weapon, the third vaccine in the U.S., millions of doses of that Johnson & Johnson one-dose vaccine are already being shipped tonight. The first dose is shipping out today, trucks rolling out from this facility in Kentucky, bound for all 50 states and U.S. territories, shipping out from Tennessee as well. Nearly 4 million doses shipping out this week, 20 million by the end of this month, 100 million by the end of June. Tonight, more than 50 million people have received at least one dose of a vaccine, nearly 20% of adults in this country now. But it is a race against those concerning variants. Tonight, the CDC director, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, warning the decline in cases is now stalling, that there's actually been a slight uptick again, cases and deaths actually rising 2% in the last week. Dr. Walensky saying today now is not the time to lift public health restrictions. So where is this new one-dose vaccine headed first? ABC's Eva Pilgrim leading us off tonight from Kentucky.
Tonight, a shot of hope for a virus-weary nation. Workers at this massive Kentucky warehouse marking that first box with the message, get healthy, as they shipped out the much-anticipated vaccine from Johnson & Johnson.
It's always a privilege to be a part of doing something that's going to save lives.
The new vaccine requires just one shot and no special freezers for storage. Today, the initial batch of nearly 4 million doses loaded onto trucks, then onto planes, bound for all corners of this country. 2.8 million of those doses are going to state and local governments, 800,000 to pharmacies, and the rest to community and federal health centers. The first shots could go into arms as early as tomorrow. Officials insist that all communities will have equal access.
That doesn't mean that every vaccination site will have every vaccine, but it means that all vaccines will reach all communities.
The company promising to deliver another 16 million doses by the end of March, but those doses not expected to come until the last 2 weeks of the month. The country's third vaccine is 85% effective at preventing severe disease and 100% effective against hospitalizations and death.
We have three highly efficacious vaccines that are safe That's the bottom line.
And unlike the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, Johnson & Johnson's was tested in South Africa and Brazil against those highly contagious variants.
We kept all the patients out of the hospital. We kept all the patients from dying. And again, this is with a single dose against some of the most difficult strains.
It's those variants that worry experts. The CDC director today warning against relaxing safeguards just as the country is seeing a slight uptick in cases and deaths.
Please hear me clearly. At this level of cases with variant spreading, we stand to completely lose the hard-earned ground we have gained. These variants are a very real threat to our people and our progress.
But at least seven states are relaxing restrictions just this week.
With things kind of waning now, with the vaccine so much more prevalent now, I think it's a good opportunity to get out.
South Carolina lifting rules on mass gathering and bars.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's fantastic. You know, like, it's about time.
In Florida, officials already concerned about large crowds beginning to gather for spring break.
All right, so let's get to Eva with us outside that warehouse in Kentucky where this Johnson & Johnson vaccine has been shipping out. And Eva, we all remember Dr. Jha telling us that when this third vaccine was approved, of course, now it's on the way, that he suspected vaccines would become widely available by May, June to July for everyone who might want to get one. That was his prediction, just given the math of all three of these vaccines. Let's hope so. We're going to continue to track that. In the meantime, in your report there, the CDC director was very clear that even with this encouraging news tonight, that we must remain vigilant with these variants and the potential, she says, for another surge?
Yeah, she has said that, David. Dr. Walensky has said that we may be done with the virus, but the virus is not done with us, warning people not to become too complacent that the worst of the pandemic is behind us. David?
Eva Pilgrim leading us off here on a Monday night. Eva, thank you. And we're going to move on in the meantime to other major news this Monday evening. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo under fire and under investigation tonight, facing accusations of sexual harassment. Tonight, his newest accuser saying Cuomo refuses to, quote, take responsibility for his predatory behavior. The governor, praised for his leadership when COVID hit, is also now facing growing questions about the data on nursing home deaths, now hiring a lawyer to represent the governor's office. Here's ABC's Stephanie Ramos tonight.
Tonight, a former aide accusing New York Governor Andrew Cuomo of sexual harassment says his explanation and attempt to apologize just doesn't cut it, declaring Cuomo has refused to acknowledge or take responsibility for his predatory behavior. 25-year-old Charlotte Bennett telling her story to the New York Times, alleging that last spring, Cuomo made it clear to her he wanted to sleep with her.
She alleges that the governor asked her direct questions about her sex life, whether or not she was monogamous in her relationships, whether or not she had ever slept with an older man.
At the same time, Cuomo's national profile was soaring from his handling of the COVID crisis.
We will do it because we are New York tough.
Bennett says she told her parents and friends about Cuomo's behavior at the time. She also told the governor's chief of staff and was quickly transferred to another department, eventually leaving the administration altogether in November. Cuomo has denied he made any advances, initially saying he was just trying to be a mentor, then releasing a statement saying, I now understand that my interactions may have been insensitive or too personal. I acknowledge some of the things I have said have been misinterpreted as an unwanted flirtation. To the extent anyone felt that way, I am truly sorry about that.
That's not an apology. He seemed to be saying, oh, I was just kidding around. You know, sexual harassment is not funny.
In recent years, Cuomo has positioned himself as a champion for women.
There has been an ongoing, persistent culture of abuse of women in terms of sexual harassment.
But Bennett is now the second woman to accuse him of sexual harassment. Another former staffer, Lindsay Boylan, said Cuomo gave her an unwanted kiss in his Manhattan office in 2018 and asked to play strip poker. He's denied that.
But it's just not true.
The New York State Attorney General is now launching an investigation. Cuomo had hoped to appoint an investigator with close ties to his top advisors, but he backed down amid an outcry from Democrats. Charlotte Bennett saying, these are not the actions of someone who simply feels misunderstood. They are the actions of an individual who wields his power to avoid justice.
And Stephanie Ramos with us tonight. Stephanie, in addition, Governor Cuomo is also battling an investigation into how his administration handled data on COVID deaths in nursing homes here in the state of New York. And today, the governor's office hiring its own criminal defense lawyer for that.
Exactly, David. And the governor himself has been largely out of sight. Governor Cuomo had been holding press conferences three times per week, but we haven't seen him since last Wednesday when his first accuser elaborated on her claims. We've noticed here on the ground, David, that Democrats aren't really rallying around the governor. State lawmakers not coming to his defense, saying they are waiting on the attorney general's investigation. David.
Stephanie Ramos in Albany tonight. Meantime, on Capitol Hill this evening, President Biden's massive COVID relief bill racing against a two-week deadline now when unemployment benefits are set to expire. You'll remember as we were on the air Friday night, the bill was set to clear the House. It did after midnight around 2 a.m. Saturday morning. Only the Democrats behind it. Now it's in the Senate, so let's get right to Rachel Scott. She's back up on the Hill tonight. And Rachel, the president is aware there were only Democrats, of course, who voted for this. He cannot afford to lose any Democrats in the Senate, which likely explains his meeting today with a group of centrist Democrats.
That's exactly right, David. This is all about making sure that his party is on the same page. The Senate is split 50-50, which means he cannot afford to lose a single Democratic vote. And that includes moderates like Senator Joe Manchin. He was at this virtual meeting with President Biden today. His biggest sticking point was that $15 an hour minimum wage hike. Now, Democrats were forced to abandon that idea. It will be stripped from the Senate's version of that bill. But also tonight at that meeting, questions about whether or not relief could be more targeted. And lawmakers here are racing against a deadline. In 2 weeks, unemployment benefits for millions of Americans are set to expire, David.
That's right, that deadline approaching. Rachel, thank you. There is also news tonight from the U.S.-Mexico border. The Biden administration now saying the more than 500 families still separated by the Trump administration's zero-tolerance policy could be allowed to reunite in the U.S. if they choose and potentially stay here in the U.S. Meantime, the number of unaccompanied minors growing, and tonight questions about new tents going up. Here's our chief national correspondent, Matt Gutman, from the border tonight.
For tens of thousands of asylum seekers like Armenia, cradling the hope that 2 years in these transit camps might soon end, tonight a promise from the Biden administration.
We are operating under a broken immigration system, and we need to fix it.
A massive overhaul of the Trump-era immigration policy, the administration tonight taking aim at perhaps the most controversial part, the separation of parents from their children at the border. Homeland Security Chief Alejandro Mayorkas is saying the 506 families that remain separated, by policy critics have labeled a human rights violation, would be allowed to reunite in the United States or their country of origin. The Biden administration also pushing back on criticism that it is housing migrant children in the very tent cities Democrats criticized the Trump administration for building.
It takes time to build out of the depths of cruelty that the administration before us established.
But quietly, change has been happening. The administration peeling back a program that forced migrants seeking asylum to wait in limbo on the Mexican side of the border. Today, crossing the border, we visited one of those makeshift encampments in Matamoros, Mexico.
Beneath these tarps and behind this concertina wire are about 700 migrants. They are just some of the 25,000 migrants that have been waiting, some of them for up to 2 years, for their chance to have their cases heard in the U.S.
Families like Blanca and Jonathan's. They and the three children they share, the youngest only a month old, endured nearly 2 years of camp life. But over the weekend, they crossed into the U.S. I was so thankful to God, he said, I couldn't even believe it. And tonight, the message to migrants and asylum seekers like Armenia hoping to cross into the U.S., patience.
We are not saying don't come. We are saying don't come now because we will be able to deliver a safe and orderly process to them as quickly as possible.
And Matt Gutman with us tonight live from Brownsville, Texas, on the border. Matt, we know President Biden spoke with Mexican President Obrador today about the U.S. relationship with Mexico. We've seen the moves by the Biden administration making to overhaul the immigration policy of the administration before, but you have learned tonight that officials are also in some places seeing an increase in illegal border crossings.
Across the board, David, they are seeing what they're calling a significant spike. And the most concerning to them is what you just mentioned, unaccompanied minors crossing. They say that 9,000 children and teens crossed into the U.S. just in the month of February. They add that Right now, in U.S. custody, there are 12,000 unaccompanied minors. David.
All right, Matt Gupman tonight. Matt, thanks. Now to the deadly storm this Monday, the straight-line winds that turned deadly. This evening, at least 15 states are now on alert for flooding and high winds going into the night. An EF1 tornado and deadly straight-line winds, a tree coming down on a man in Georgia today. He did not survive. Dozens of flood rescues, these images from Kentucky tonight. And this evening, the Northeast now bracing for sub-zero wind chills. Let's get right to Chief Meteorologist Ginger Zee. She's tracking it all for us. Hey, Ginger.
David, March is roaring in. You can see the wind kick in here, my hair evident. Wanted to show you the wind warnings and advisories, though, all the way from Altoona, Pennsylvania, up to Jackman, Maine. And then flood warnings still exist in parts of Kentucky where they saw up to 7 inches of rain. That cold front trails all the way to the Gulf Coast. So overnight tonight, you're going to see gusts in places like Boston up to 50 miles per hour. Albany, you could kick up to about 52. And what that means is by tomorrow morning, it'll still be windy, but it'll take the temperatures and make them feel like the single digits or even sub-zero. David, look at Burlington, 17 below. Things do get better after tomorrow, though.
They will at some point, and after tomorrow we'll take. Thank you, Ginger. We're going to turn next night to California. A surgeon now facing questions after he was seen making a court appearance while performing surgery. The judge clearly uncomfortable with it all, and here's ABC's Kana Whitworth tonight.
Tonight, a California plastic surgeon facing backlash after he was seen on live stream attending traffic court while performing surgery.
I am, sir. I'm in the operating room. Yes, I'm available for trial.
The presiding judge in disbelief.
So unless I'm mistaken, I'm seeing a defendant that's in the middle of an operating room appearing to be actively engaged in providing services to a patient. Is that correct, Mr. Green?
Yes, sir.
If I could get you to raise your right hand for me.
Dr. Green, the Sacramento-based surgeon, is sworn in. He has blood on his gloves. He continues the surgery, but the judge is clearly not comfortable with the multitasking.
I do not feel comfortable for the welfare of a patient if you're in the process of operating that I would put on a trial.
Sir, I have another surgeon right here who's doing the surgery with me, so I can stand here and allow them to do the surgery also.
Despite Dr. Green's insisting, the judge requests a date change.
We want to keep people healthy. We want to keep them alive. That's important.
The California Medical Board telling ABC News they are aware of the incident and will be looking into it.
David, Dr. Green has not responded for comment, and his court date has been rescheduled for later this week. David.
All right, Kana Whitworth tonight. Kana, thank you. Overseas tonight, former French President Nicolas Sarkozy convicted of corruption and influence peddling for illegally interfering in a legal case. Sarkozy, president from 2007 to 2012, was sentenced to a 2-year suspended sentence and 1 year in prison, though he may be able to serve that at home. When we come back here tonight, Lady Gaga's dog walker breaking his silence tonight. The images coming in now from his hospital bed and the iceberg the size of New York City breaking off.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight, Lady Gaga's dog walker with a message just days after being shot by two suspects stealing two of the singer's French bulldogs. Ryan Fisher posting on Instagram from his hospital bed. He was shot in the chest, saying he's still recovering from his very close call with death. Fisher thanking the first responders for saving his life. The two dogs have been returned. Police are still searching for the suspects. Tonight, an iceberg more than 20 times the size of Manhattan breaks off the Antarctic ice shelf. 490 square miles it broke off from the Brunt ice shelf. Scientists have been tracking these cracks for a decade now. And a passing to note tonight, former NFL star and pioneering football analyst Irv Cross has died. The first African-American sports analyst on national television, Irv Cross, was 81. Finally tonight here, America Strong, the baby boy and the Sound of Music. 11-month-old Manning James Rolden from Clifton Forge, Virginia, was born deaf in both ears. After months of testing, fittings, and surgery, Manning now has cochlear implants. And with Mom Noel filming, Manning is about to hear music, the theme song to a cartoon, for the first time. Dancing, laughing, Manning can now hear. Mom posting the video writing, "To most people, this is just something every baby does. But to me, this is incredible. Manning has never danced to music because he's never heard it." And tonight,
"Hey, David."
Mom and baby Manning right here with us.
To see him light up from sound when we've never seen that before is truly amazing.
She is grateful for that medical team, grateful for the power of music. Grateful for his favorite cartoon. And we are grateful they shared that moment. I'll see you tomorrow. Good night.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.